So I turned 50. I started a doctoral program.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be, what was it? Say, how'd you say it?
I started a demon program. Demon.
He started a demon program. You heard it here first. He started a demon program.
Doctor of ministry.
Don't go to sinchurch.cc. Yeah, they got not. A demon program. Look. Yo, Michael Jr. here. This is my co-host and friend and really a really awesome pastor, but Kyle, also known as Pastor Kyle.
Thank you.
Sentchurch.cc.
You know, people come to Sent Church because they hear about it on this podcast.
I know, dude. That is amazing. People hear about the podcast. I'm sorry. They listen to the podcast and they end up at Sent Church.
Yeah.
And then after being there and listening to his message.
Oh, man.
They then become atheists. It's the craziest thing. How often? No, that's not true.
That's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening at all. It blesses me to hear those stories. Like we've had, that's pretty dope, dude. Mm-hmm. I've heard you tell me about at least three or four, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that are connected now.
Like, and I recommend Sent Church too. It's a great place. It's a really, really awesome place.
Appreciate that.
So, yeah, we're about to talk about, we're going to take some voicemails today.
I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to take voicemails.
These are always fun.
We haven't heard the voicemails at all, not even a little bit. So you might be asking yourself, what could you learn from a pastor and a comedic thought leader about life? How could you possibly learn anything from us? So if you're wondering that, if you're concerned about that, well, you're about to find out.
Okay.
I love this podcast.
You'll be laughing out loud and all of a sudden, boom, something that can really help you drops in your lap.
I like it because I unexpectedly learn about life.
It is so funny.
I get to laugh and learn about life at the same time.
I like listening to Funny How Life Works with the car of my parents. With the car in my parents. Okay.
Yo, so non-sponsor.
I would say today.
No, nah, you can't make it up, dude. We've studied this. We know.
Oh, yeah, we do.
In fact, our producer already has one ready. But first, before we do that, how you been?
I've been good, man. It's a lot that has happened since we last got together.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, but.
Because we just did a podcast 8 minutes ago.
I know. But I had a milestone birthday.
Oh, that's right. You did. 75 is like the time.
That's right. Yeah.
No, you turned 50, dude.
I did.
What'd you do for your birthday?
Man, it's too much to talk about. I had a surprise party. I had friends in from childhood that I didn't know were coming. My wife took me on a Caribbean vacation for 5 days and 4 nights. That was a surprise trip.
Wow.
I mean, it's like 9 days of, she was so amazing. I can never.
Dude, I don't know what you, mean when is her birthday?
It was June 1st.
And yours came first or hers came first?
Mine came first.
Your birthday came. She did all of this
Party, near
friend,
50.
All of this stuff, all these great, amazing things. Like Caribbean cruise for 5 days.
I'm doing a cruise. You with it was
from what I understand, she flew friends in from different parts of the country
to
surprise you.
She
and
did.
Your doorbell was ringing like ding dong.
Yeah.
New friend. Ding dong. New
it
friend.
It was crazy.
Ding dong. New friend. You had an event at somebody's house where everybody just wrapped it and told you how much they love you and care about you. The
totally
Caribbean
unexpected.
Cruise, all of this stuff. And then her birthday came.
Her birthday is not here yet.
No, in June, it was her birthday, right?
In June, it was my birthday.
And then her birthday,
is in October.
Cool. What's the plan?
Look, man. I'm going to tell you something.
What is the plan? What you going to do?
My wife has a twin sister, and she has told me they cannot be apart on their birthday. Mm-hmm. So first of all, whatever I plan has to include
you have to double it up.
The twin.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't have a plan yet. I have time. Because it's not a milestone for her. Like I said, she's nowhere near 50. Nowhere near.
If I was you, I would spend that time. I would spend this time right now telling her that she's so much greater than you at planting stuff.
Just plant that seed. Just keep planting.
So when you show up with three roses on her birthday.
She's an introvert. I'm an extrovert.
Mm-hmm. You are extra.
I have. You're trying to get that nat. And I have a lot more friends than her. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just I have a lot more friends than her.
This is going well so far.
But she spoiled me. It was amazing. So I turned 50. I started a doctoral program.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be, what was it? How did you say it?
I started a demon program.
Demon. He started a demon program. You heard it here first. He started a demon program.
Doctor of ministry.
Don't go to sinchurch.cc.
Yeah,
they got
not.
A demon program.
Look. You call me a demon.
Dude, that is great, man. So you'll get a doctorate. Is that what that means?
Yeah, in 3 years.
3 years, wow.
Yep. So
I'm waiting on an honorary doctorate. I'm not going to be doing all the work. I'm just going to do what I normally do and hopefully somebody.
Somebody give you one.
Yeah.
But then will you use the title?
Dr. Michael Dr. Jr.
Michael Jr. Absolutely. It was Dr. J. You could be Dr. MJ.
Yeah. Are we going to have to call you Dr. Pacal?
Hey, man, whatever the Lord leads you to call me. My 10-year-old Mimi says she does not want people calling me doctor.
For real?
Yep. She's like, I want them to just call you Pastor Kyle.
Wow. Yeah. Well, she can't get everything she wants.
She can't. She can't. Cool. So, yeah, it was a full summer.
Non-sponsor. Who we got?
Embrace Grace.
Oh, one of the original OGs.
That is
Embrace
OG.
Grace. Mm-hmm. Great organization. If you're pregnant, you don't know what to do, you have no idea, you're considering just not following through with it, please, by all means, contact Embrace Grace.
Absolutely.
They have chapters or classes really throughout the world at this point. Mm-hmm. It's not just nationwide. It's all over the place. So contact Embrace Grace. They'll help you through the whole process, give you some care, give you some love, give you some gifts, and really come alongside you in a really awesome way. So, boom. And then as a gift, if you're married, even if you're not married, there's four things you can do to improve your marriage right now. I don't know how you do that if you're not married, but as I think about it, but actually, if you do these things and practice them, when you get married, they'll actually help you.
That's good.
So the way to get these four things, you just go to michaeljr.com/four things, and we will send you the mini course is what I'm kind of calling it. It's a resource. It's a video. You get a PDF. You can do the thing. It's pretty awesome. Me and my wife took some time to put it together just for you. It's a free source. So it should be a link in the show notes. And then by all means, get it and then send it to a friend, too, if you want to help their marriage a grip, I believe.
Good.
Boom. So.
Voicemails. You ready?
Yeah.
I love these because they're spontaneous.
Cool. Yeah. Voicemails.
But some of them get deep.
Yeah, we haven't heard these before.
Mm-mm.
If you want to leave a voicemail.
214-308-1177. That's 214-308-1177. Remember that song?
Wow. 777-9311. I don't remember the next of this part right here.
It wasn't a good part. It's not appropriate.
Hey, man, this thing is winding down. I don't want to give it away, but something... It's winding
down.
Yes,
it is.
It is, man.
Although we've come to the end of the road.
And I can let go.
Yeah.
I can let go. Is that the song?
Yeah.
It's so hard.
No, that's just so hard to
say goodbye.
To yesterday.
Hey, remember that time we were spontaneously started singing I used to sing it in high school all the time. I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride
to make it easier.
Let the children's laughter
giggle.
Remind them how we used to be.
Hey,
tell us who sang the best. Go ahead. Start at I Decided.
I Decided.
Wait, I'll go first. It's probably better. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadows.
If I fail, if I succeed, at least I lived as I believe.
No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because the grave.
Whitney Houston is probably rolling in her grave right now, man.
That's weird, Pastor.
Hey, well,
I thought once the person dies, they go up to heaven.
It's like
heaven.
Keeping burning coals.
What did they teach at
someone?
Your church?
It's just an expression.
Let's,
man,
take some voicemails.
All right, ready.
I'm ready. So these are voicemails. We haven't heard them before. If you want to leave a voicemail, hit us at
214-308-1177.
214-308-1177. I got a great memory. Remember that one song?
Do it.
77793.
Yes.
Playing.
It's like deja vu.
Let's listen to a voicemail.
Michael Jr., I was wondering, what do you think God was thinking about when he made the duck-billed platypus?
That's a good one.
That's a really interesting
question.
Have
you ever seen a duck-billed platypus?
What was God thinking about when he made the person who would ask the question on the podcast about the duck-billed platypus?
That's a good one.
Wow.
Yeah. When people ask you questions like that, like what was God thinking? Whatever comes next, where does your mind go? Like I'm wondering creatively, before they even finish the sentence, what was God thinking? Where does your mind go?
My first thought is So if they say, what was God think? I'm done right there. I'm like, hey, first of all, who is I to say? I bet I know what God was thinking, and the same God who gave me the ability to think. Yeah. So if I was going to build, if I was going to create, if I had the ability to make an animal, like let's pull up a picture, of, we probably can't, of the duck-billed platypus. Can we see a picture?
You know, I know a little girl who...
Well, yeah, you got a daughter, buddy.
Well, I'm not talking about that little girl. Well, I am talking about that little girl, but that little girl doesn't want me to know, don't want people to know I'm talking about her when I tell this story.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, there it is, a duck-billed
platypus.
Oh, it looks like a... What is that coming out of his mouth? Is that the tongue? Or has he got a microphone?
He's eating a worm.
Oh, he's eating a worm. I was like, that brother got a mic on. That seems like a setup.
Yeah.
So it looked like an otter that somebody put a muzzle on.
Right.
And then put a beaver tail on him. Here's what God was thinking. I have no idea, but here's what I'll say. God was like, I'm going to use this animal to spark some conversations around the world that's going to help people understand how amazing I am. That's probably what he was.
Should go to the next voicemail.
Dude, I had a I had a thought, and I wanted to run this by you. I texted you this, matter of fact. I texted to you on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. This what?
Dude, listen, so this is a deep thought, right?
Okay.
And then we'll go to the next voicemail.
All right.
When you show gratitude, the things that happen for your brain neurologically is bananas.
Right.
But then what happens to your body because you're in a place of gratitude, the health benefits are significant.
I agree.
Like science is barely probably scratching the surface on how significant, how helpful it is for when you have gratitude.
Right.
So the thought process I had is it possible that when it comes to worship, God really has no desire personally. I know this is, we're going way out there. No desire personally for us to worship him. But because there's so many benefits and it helps us so much and helps us grow and understand and get closer to him, he has made himself available and available to worship because he's so awesome. That if he wasn't there and if he wasn't that awesome and if he didn't say, hey, focus on me, then what could we worship consistently enough to continue to get those benefits?
Okay.
There's nothing, there is nothing. You might say, okay, I worship, some people say, I worship the fact I got such a great, I love my car. People actually can worship a car.
Yeah.
But then the car is gone. What do they do? Right. And how do they get all these amazing benefits?
Right.
But God is so consistent. And always there and always the same and always worthy to be praised. It's actually an item that we can focus on no matter what's going on. I say item, that's not the word.
Right, I know what you mean.
That I can focus on no matter what's going on and show gratitude and show worship and get all the physical, mental, spiritual benefits of doing that thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's good. I say it the other way, but it lands in the same place. Mm-hmm. God is good and God wants good things for us. And God is worthy of worship, and he tells us to worship him.
Right.
But for the person who doesn't like church or religion, they say, well, why would I worship a God that tells me to worship him? Well, it's like, well, if you only knew how good he knows that it's for you. So it's kind of like, we're all built to worship.
Right.
We're all going to worship something.
You can't not worship something.
Right. We're all going to worship something. But the most benefit, the best benefit, the most consistent, unchanging object of our worship would be God.
Boom. So we're in agreement. That's awesome. I'm not going to edit out your answer. Cool, let's take another voicemail.
Michael Jr., I was wondering, what's your favorite board game?
Ooh. Yeah. I don't know if you play board games or not. And I'm just talking so you can think of your answer to give you some cover there. But
yeah.
We've never played a board game.
We haven't played a board game together, have we?
I just figured a board game would be boring for you. But I have my favorite.
What's your favorite?
Monopoly. Come on now. I like Monopoly.
Is that what's going on at the church?
Play by the rules? No, not by not at the church, man. We should do a game night at the church.
Yeah. Monopoly, really, for you? Monopoly takes a long time.
No, people say that.
I'm more of a shoots and ladders guy.
People who say Monopoly takes a long time have not played by the rules of Monopoly.
You know who you can't beat at Monopoly?
Who?
Mac.
I could beat Mac
at
Monopoly.
You can't beat Mac at Monopoly.
I would whoop Mac's tail.
You can't beat Mac at Monopoly.
Why?
Because you can't.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
I'm telling you, you can't beat Mac at Monopoly.
Because he won't play it?
No, he'll play and smash you.
No, he won't.
He will smash you.
Monopoly. You get Mac on the phone. I know you called him earlier today for something
Mac
different.
Right now. Call Mac, Mac. You can't right beat now. Mac at Monopoly.
Look, I'm going to
tell him.
Give him my sanctified trash talk.
What is your strategy behind winning at Monopoly?
No. I play with the help of the Holy Spirit. Look,
okay, that's just, now you're just cheating.
No, I'm going to tell you what.
Mac has the Holy Spirit too, though. No, therefore, okay, you cannot be Mac at Monopoly.
Look, I'm going to tell you, the Orange properties, New York, Tennessee, and St. James are the most
but
profitable.
But you've got to land on them, though.
Yeah, well, you go around the board once, and then you start buying. You can't
that's
be afraid to make deals. And look.
That's your plan.
I win with Boardwalk and Parkway.
He will smash you.
No, he won't.
Okay. I'm on the podcast, Mac.
Okay.
What's up,
and
Mac?
And Pacquiao said, what's up, right? And we're talking about Monopoly. You tracking with me?
Okay.
We're talking about Monopoly.
Okay.
And he thinks that he could beat you at Monopoly.
Ooh.
The next words he says.
Let's just start with this. Instead of just any trash talk.
Yeah.
What kind of effort have you put into the winning of Monopoly, Mac? Let's just start there.
Well, so I was curious if there were statistical anomalies with Monopoly, so I created an Excel spreadsheet that tracked all the possible ways, and because there's a master reset on the board, which is the go to jail, and then you also have two other master resets.
Stop right there.
I want you to tell Mac something. Tell Mac that when I was in college, at the University of Michigan, Half of the grade, Mac, in college, I took this entrepreneurship class, and half of our grade, 50%, was tied to our performance in Monopoly.
Yes.
In a timed 1-hour game at the end of the semester.
50%
of the grade.
And he never graduated. I do want to point that out too.
I was about to say, it's just a good thing that I wasn't in that class.
Oh, wow. My money is on Mac. He will smack. The dude got spreadsheets built. He knows where the reset is. Oh, I can't wait to see this. I almost want to do an episode of y'all playing Monopoly together.
You need to.
We'll do a time lapse episode.
He will smash you.
No, he won't.
Yes, he will.
No, he won't.
I'm sorry.
You know what's going to happen? He will pay me rent. he will be begging me to make deals.
Oh, my money's on Mac. I'm just going to go with
and
that.
And then he'll get some properties. He'll get that one card, you know, $40 what? Per house and $115 per hotel.
I think I know what Pastor Kyle's plan is, right? He's going to call you. He's going to make you pay a tithe on everything you
we're
get.
We're not putting any money under free parking. No money under free parking.
That's a ghetto way.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. I love you, Mac. Thanks, dude.
Hey, love you, too.
All right, bro.
Yeah, you can have all the spreadsheets you want.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'll replace wisdom.
Did you know there was a reset on the board?
Go to jail? I mean, that reset your whole life, like in real life. Call it whatever you want.
Okay.
I mean.
All right. Next voicemail,
just
please.
Because he referred to jail as a reset.
You're trying to monopolize this conversation. Voicemail. Let's do the next one.
Hi, Michael Jr.
Hi.
I was wondering, how does a person move on and stop shaming themselves when they've made a huge mistake? I made a mistake that has only harmed me and no one else, but I feel tons of shame for my bad choice, and I'm having lots of trouble letting go or moving forward from this mistake. Thank you.
Cool. Go ahead, bro. You can start out.
You're gonna think I'm joking.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talked to that lady on the phone.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, like in real life. And I thought of you when she called me. She heard the podcast. She wanted to come. You know, I do a monthly event at my house called Dinner with the Pastor. And she wanted to come to my house.
Oh, wow.
And then it was in the telling of the story, because I was thinking about how you said, I just give my address and phone number to anybody.
This is true. Which is 5757.
Yeah, that's right. I was very close to saying, just come on by, because she had never been to the church. She's on the podcast. But then she began to unpack this sense of shame she felt. And she told me, it was either coming to my house or going to a support group she's been a part of. And as she unpacked, I was like, I want you to go to that support group.
That is dope. Yeah. So let's answer her question so everybody else can hear. What advice would you give somebody in case that's not the same lady
who
you tried to get to your house?
No, what I remind people when they're carrying shame is that the way they see themselves is so different than the way God sees them.
Yeah.
Like that, whatever that act was that created that shame, that is not the thing that defines them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the thing that defines their identity. It's certainly something they can learn from, but that is not the thing that God intended for them to carry about themselves for the rest of their lives. There's some cliche sounding things we can say, but they're true, that God knows you for who you are,
mm-hmm.
and God knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. The enemy knows your name, but he calls you by your sin, right? Like, that sounds cliche, man, but it's true.
I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. So God knows who you are.
Can you say it with?
God knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. The enemy knows your name, but he calls you by your shame. So, yeah, I mean, I encourage people that.
You can't do that in the end with so, yeah. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you were going back to Pacal.
I just want to encourage her. And I know you're going to offer some insight, but like, if you walk around defining yourself by the shameful thing you did, it's going to be hard for you to ever see yourself.
Boom. I love it, man.
Glory to God.
What I would add to that with regards to that, if the thing that she's ashamed of, if this is ashamed as your scenario, that thing was already in you. The feeling, the thought that, to do the thing that you were thinking about doing or did you ultimately end up doing. It was already in you for some reason, meaning something happened in your childhood, something went down at some point, and you had that desire in you. And God is so awesome, he wanted to get that thing out of you. And what's happened now is it's been exposed in a way that you can see it. Now you just take the next step. And the next step is to release it and fully give it to God. Because he wants it. It's exposed, it's not yours. And when you do it, when you give it to God, and I don't mean just with words, if you've done our course, we have a course called Funny How Marriage Works. But one of the things we talk about mostly is we show is this process where you literally give the thing that's in you to God. He takes it and it's never yours again. So your next step is to do whatever you can. Press in, get curious, ask God to please take the thing from you. And then visualize in your mind, I don't know if you visualize shame as a blob or a shoe or whatever it is. Visualize in your mind you taking that thing from yourself, handing it to him. And then when you hand it to him, like actually see God, or better yet, Jesus, because we know what Jesus looks like to a degree, but some people kind of tripping with the long hair. Anyway, so we hand it to Jesus. And then after you hand it to him, just to solidify that you've done it, I want you to then ask him, I know this is crazy deep for this short period of time, I want you to ask him if you can have it back. Give it to him and then ask if you can have it back. Watch what he says. If you're talking to him, watch what he says. The answer will be no, and then there's no way you can get it. It'll be released and you'll feel different. I'm telling you, it's really about giving the thing to him because it was never yours to carry.
Yeah.
If you're carrying anything that's too heavy for you, it's not yours.
That's right.
You got to give it away.
You know what I find is that, and if this is the person I spoke to, the challenge is when we think of somebody doing something shameful, we think of somebody doing something that was like obviously sinful, like, you know, killed somebody, beat somebody up, stole something, right? There's sometimes where people just think they were disobedient to God and that he's holding it against them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they think I was supposed to take that job in that city. And because I said no, my life has been in shambles ever since.
Yeah.
And God's holding that against me.
Yeah. Because that's what he would do.
Exactly.
What verse was that again?
Yeah. So it's hard for them.
Third Romans.
For them, it's hard for them to envision themselves giving it to God because they think, well, he gave it to me in the first place. Right. And I didn't do the right thing with it. So he won't take it back. And it's like, oh, he'll take it back, and he's not even holding it against you.
And he didn't give it to you.
Right.
God only has good things for you. And people wonder, well, if you knew I was going to do this, God knows exactly what you was going to do, when you're going. He already knows. And people like, well, how can I have freedom then? Because let's say there's 7,000 forks in the road. He knows what you're going to do because he knows the outcome of anyone that you choose.
Right.
Therefore, he knows the 7,000 options.
Right.
Knows and whichever one you choose, he already knows.
That's right.
But he gives you the freedom to choose so you could do the thing, and he loves you at the end of any one of those forks.
Yep.
With that being said, let's stick into another steak right now.
Yeah. Well, I think we have one more voicemail.
We'll do one more voicemail. Then we're going to go off the doggone cuff.
You never did say your favorite board game.
I didn't say my favorite board game. Probably because I don't got one.
Okay.
Yeah, you were right. You were right. I didn't realize I didn't have a favorite board game.
Yeah.
Any board game where I'm playing with my family is fun.
Okay.
And then I also like... No, I didn't like Chutes and Ladders. I would lose all the time. And then life took forever. It takes a long time. Yeah, and you get people pregnant without even... Anyway,
yeah, that's true. You just end up with
random kids.
Random kids
showing up.
But you got to have a spouse to get... Well, maybe not anymore in life.
No, you don't. You just need a spouse. You just need a turkey baster.
Isn't there one more voicemail? Okay, here it is.
Last voicemail. Boom.
Hi, Michael Jr. I'm wondering about this ministry I read about somewhere that you have. that ministers to the homeless community or structurally challenged friends
structurally
out there.
Challenged.
I work with one, and I'm just wondering more about that.
Mm.
So, not sure how to get more information about that, but I really would like to.
Oh, that's dope.
That's the
thank you, and appreciate your show more than you know. You and your guests are crack up. My husband and I have been listening to you since way back in the Thou Shalt Laugh days.
Wow.
When we first heard you. So, thank you. I'd love more information about that ministry. I feel like I've read about.
Okay, are we editing these things? Wow. We're not. Okay. Thank you so much. Wow, that's beautiful, man.
It's funny for the forgotten. That's like one of the easiest
that's the
questions you've gotten.
That's an alley-oop to the nonprofit that we have, which is called Funny for the Forgotten, mm-hmm. where we use funny to take it to those people who are structurally challenged.
You've never heard that
I've
expression.
Never heard that phrase before.
Mm-hmm.
Structurally challenged.
That's right.
That means you got a big butt? I don't understand what that means. Like, your butt is out of control.
You're going to have to edit that out, too. I've heard vertically challenged. To describe
I have,
people.
Too. Funny for the Forgotten is an awesome organization where we take comedy and understanding and personal development and all the things we're doing, and we make it commonplace in those uncommon places. Homeless shelters, prisons, abused children's facilities. And if you want to help Funny for the Forgotten be amazing and do even more, then you can just go to funnyfortheforgotten.org and then help us do that. Either come to an event, or even better yet, or maybe not better yet, but send us some money so we can take the funny to the people who need it,
yeah.
or maybe not be able to afford it.
It's great.
It's pretty dope. Dude, I'm going to let you go off the cuff.
All right. The off the cuff moment that I want to go off the cuff on is when Mac was talking about some spreadsheets for a board game.
Hold on. My wife is here. This dude think he could be Mac at Monopoly.
You know what?
You can't beat Mac at Monopoly.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.
There was another guy who believed that too, and look where he is.
What do you mean I can't?
The other guy who said that originally,
you know what?
He got to go to jail.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Okay. I mean, like, look, they're talking about I can't beat Mac at Monopoly. The off-the-cuff moment I want to go off-the-cuff on is when Mac started talking about some spreadsheets for a board game. Now look here, in life, there are times when we can overthink and overanalyze certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes right down to it, we need to trust in good old-fashioned wisdom. Now, when it comes to Monopoly, there will be a day when Mac and I sit down and play.
Yeah, there
just
will.
Like the listeners will have a day where they face a situation that they've never encountered before.
Mm.
You can pull out all the spreadsheets and do all the math you want, or you can listen to the voice of the one who knows you best, the one who wants to give you wisdom. In fact, Jesus said the Holy Spirit came to lead us and guide us into all truth. So you thought I was joking when I said I would play Mac with the help of the Holy Spirit? Brother, that's not a joke. I will rely on the wisdom of the Lord and watch Mac's spreadsheets fall to the floor. That's the off-the-cuff moment for the day. I can't be Mac?
That is legit. We don't even know. We're just
making
a prediction.
Y'all seem very confident.
We're just making a prediction.
Who have y'all ever watched Mac play Monopoly?
We don't need to. I've watched Mac play Monopoly in life. Yeah. He doesn't know. It's okay.
The Pharisees explained in great detail the way to be saved.
Wow.
And then Jesus came and said, too complicated.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll get to see if we do an episode of this, how a pastor responds to losing at a game that he thought he could play well.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but I'll get over it.
Actually, I'm pretty excited about the match. So with that being said, that was the off-the-cuff moment. We appreciate you. We love you. It's actually pretty awesome to know you guys are watching, and we're just grateful. So by all means, go get the four things, and don't depend on your own math, right, is what he's saying. Don't depend on your own math. God's math is different than ours. His
Absolutely.
Ways are different than our ways. So by all means, trust in him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
That's right.
Boom.